So this morning I want to start with some advice from Pema Chodron. She writes in When Things Fall Apart, the first noble truth of the Buddha is that when we feel suffering, it doesn't mean that something is wrong. What a relief. Finally, somebody told the truth. Suffering is part of life, and we don't have to feel it's happening because we personally made the wrong move. In reality, however, when we feel suffering, we think that something is wrong. As long as we're addicted to hope, we feel that we can tone our experience down or liven it up or change it somehow, and we continue to suffer a lot. The word in Tibetan for hope is rewa. The word for fear is dokpa. More commonly, the word redok is used, which combines the two. Hope and fear is a feeling with two sides. As long as there's one, there's always the other. This redok is the root of our pain. In the world of hope and fear, we always have to change the channel, change the temperature, change the music, because something is getting uneasy. Something is getting restless. Something is beginning to hurt. And we keep looking for alternatives. In a non-theistic state of mind, abandoning hope is an affirmation. The beginning of the beginning. You could even put abandon hope on your refrigerator door instead of more conventional aspirations like every day in every way, I'm getting better and better. Hope and fear come from feeling that we lack something. They come from a sense of poverty. We can't simply relax with ourselves. We hold on to hope, and hope robs us of the present moment. We feel that someone else knows what's going on, but that there's something missing in us, and therefore something is lacking in our world. So let's, you know, leave it to Pema to just put it very simply and provocatively, abandon hope. And that might sound like really, really disheartening. And I want to clarify, it's actually kind of the opposite. And, you know, she's saying hope and fear are flip sides of the same thing. And that same thing, we could say, is delusion. Hope and fear are the root arguments we have with reality. And she's sort of using the word hope kind of in the desire that things would be different than they are. And this desire that things be different than they are internally is the root cause of our suffering psychologically. Yes, there's much in the world right now that needs changing. So this is really talking about our internal process. Being with things just as they are, you know, would be kind of like the watchword of the 60s, be here now. But hope and fear are kind of the energy of anything but this moment. And hope and fear, as Pema says, rob us of being present with what is. And when we drop hope and fear, we drop into relationship with what is. We contact the truth of our experience. And so from abandoning hope, we gain wisdom, clarity, strength. And from here, we also go to wholeness. Because when we really are with things as they are, we're able to become whole inside. No part of us is left out. Only by being with what is can we get any traction in life. Hope and fear are kind of like an engine revving in a car, but the car is in neutral. We don't go anywhere. We don't learn anything. We're just in reaction to reality instead of working with reality. We're just kind of running our cognitive ruts. Abandoning hope, letting go of fear, is really dropping into the moment, which is always fresh and new. It's so interesting that neuroscience studies show that mindfulness tends to enlarge the hippocampus, the learning and novelty center of the brain. Because just to feel, you know, the rise of the belly with an in-breath or the fall of the belly with an out-breath, it's new, it's fresh. That is very not driven by your personality and by your cognitive ruts. It seems so simple, just notice the breath. But it's like brain therapy. It's massaging your brain with something new and fresh. And this newness and freshness, when we drop hope and fear, we sort of drop into the miracle of being alive. So ironically, when we let go of hope, we feel optimistic because we're really dropping into the very aliveness of being, the aliveness of this moment. And that's, again, it just feels fresh and new and not stale. Our ruts of hope and fear feel stale. We know them so well. And we can let go at any time and just drop into really the miracle of existence, just feeling a breath. How miraculous is your breath? This body knows every moment to breathe in or out. It knows how to take oxygen out of the air and release carbon dioxide. So dropping hope and fear makes us grateful, even makes us optimistic. And it satisfies us because we drop into being. Being is really the deepest satisfaction we experience. Being is the end of seeking, the end of suffering. We just are. So really, it's so kind to abandon hope. We're not abandoning it for the sake of abandoning it. We're letting go of it so that we can be in the freshness and aliveness of our being. So kind to do this. It's just knowing yourself just as you are, appreciating yourself just as you are. Our breath is precious. You know, our embarrassment is precious. Our shame is precious. Because we're alive, if we can wake up to these experiences, we feel our basic aliveness. Fear is precious. When we let go of fear, if we abandon hope, abandon fear, it's pretty hard to just abandon fear, right? So this is not so much letting go. Letting go of it is not so much getting rid of it, but waking up to it, being willing to experience fear. And just like your in and out breath are precious, so is fear. And through practice, we learn to be kind to everything. You know, through practice, we learn that everything is arising in order to find a friend. And your fear needs your friendship, needs kindness. And when we're kind to our fear, what we do is we upturn or turn over the basic dynamic of fear, which is we don't like to be afraid. And so we have fear of fear. And fear of fear is like double fear. But if we can instead be welcoming and kind to fear and be curious about it without being lost in the story of it, it tames fear. Fear becomes simple. It's not fear of fear. It's just fear. And we learn what it's like and we learn to be with it. So abandoning hope and fear comes from this sense of Buddhism being very optimistic. Buddhism really teaches that reality is benevolent. Reality is designed to wake you up. And you've got to meet it halfway with attention and mindfulness and kindness. But when you do that, you start seeing that all the suffering, the hope and fear are actually pointers back to here, you know, your heart and your home, which is this present moment awareness. And when you lose that, reality will wake you up to it. Reality is always trying to say to you, pay attention. And reality can really have a sense of humor too. And I remember when my wife and I moved from Vermont to Colorado, we were packing up, you know, feverishly in the middle of the night at 2 a.m. I walked out of my bedroom with a box in my hands, not being able to see where I was going. And I kicked something and I put the box down and I looked down and I had kicked off the head of the Buddha on a little statue sitting on my floor. And the head of the Buddha was, you know, all the way across the floor. And if that was not a great symbol, a headless Buddha of my own mindlessness, you know, it's like that Buddha woke me up. And, you know, life is trying to do that to us. We lose awareness all the time, but life steers us back. When we pay attention and when we're kind, then we start to see that hope and fear take great energy. And when we really work with them in the moment, we see that they're tense. Hope and fear are tense. And when we feel that tension in the body, over time, our system wants to let go of what is tense, but we have to feel the tension. But we do, and we feel that it's tiring to be on this coin that flips over and over between hope and fear. And we start realizing we want to put that energy instead to paying attention and being loving. Remember, your suffering takes energy to maintain. Hope and fear take energy. We can just let go into presence, into awareness, into love. And that leads to peace of mind and heart. So reality is benevolent. We don't need hope and fear. We just need to pay attention and to love. So